Welcome to the Healing Bloom, a safe place to grieve. Our goal is to create an atmosphere around the topic of grief that is real, exploratory, and inviting. Inviting because we want to normalize conversations around death, dying, grief, and bereavement that are relatable to everyday experiences. Join me today in this deep conversation. All right, Healing Bloom, thank you so much for joining me again today. I have another wonderful guest joining me for the relaunch of Healing Bloom Podcast, A Safe Space to Grieve. I'm going to do this a little bit differently than I do most of my introductions. I have Jeff Kay with me today, and his bio is really a story, and I think it really encapsulates his why of what we're talking about today, which is preserving the past, inspiring the future. And so I don't want to take anything away from his story. I want him to share his own story. And so, Jeff, I'm going to turn it over to you to share a little bit about yourself and what we'll be talking about today.
Sure. I own the company My Digital Memories. And what My Digital Memories does is we preserve people's photographs, films, slides, and things like that. That's digital, that so you can pass along to future generations. Now, with that being said, how did I get into that? When I was 7 years old, my grandmother died at my feet, which was very traumatic for me. At that point, I didn't know what death was at 7 years old, but I knew she was gone. And so I started saving birthday cards, holiday cards, postcards, and things like that. Then, as things evolved, I bought a camera and started to take pictures of things and preserve things that way. And I started to build myself a legacy of my loved ones and what they mean to me. From that perspective, pictures, videos, slides, whatever media that you have your memories on, tell someone's life story. So with that being the case, I did this for 20 years. After college, I approached my dad. I told him, Dad, this is what I want to do. He's like, oh, that sounds great. Go get a job. Love it. Mm-hmm. Corporate and I had a hate-hate relationship for 20 years. But, you know, that worked for me. Then my dad passed away in 08. My mom passed away in 2018. And we're going through their house, my sister and I. And we found all these photos, slides, film, things of family vacations. And it was all quite emotional. And I started to think, you know, it's ironic. People go on vacations and take all these pictures. And I'll say this is just my family. I won't generalize. Mm-hmm. But yeah, at the time, back in the 70s, before that, maybe the 80s, people, oh, I had to get the best camera, every accessory. And then you come home with the pictures. You need duplicates. Then you got to buy the photo albums. And you do all this stuff, which is great to capture all these memories. And then when I find then the next time I see them is after my parents die and I'm cleaning out their house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why would my parents, you spend all this money on a vacation, you look forward to a vacation, which is a happy time, you're excited to go, but then all your memories are in a drawer.
Yeah.
And I find that quite unfortunate. So after my parents died, I took all this stuff and I digitized it for my family, my sister's family. So we had a place to visit. I'll say, for the lack of anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that having a shared space is helped with the grieving process.
Mm-hmm.
It gave everybody a space to go so you can visit your long lost loved ones, mm-hmm. whether it be a pet, whether it be a family member, whatever. But my opinion, I don't think, and let's back up. I think keeping somebody's memory is a lot. It's all you have.
Mm-hmm.
It's someone's life story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I feel is important.
Okay, thank you. So I didn't realize until you just said this, that what you're creating is a common space for people to grieve. And that is certainly in line with the work that I'm doing as well. So is this like creating this common space, is it easier to do so now for someone that may be interested in this service now that we have iPhones and stuff like that? Is that easier to do than having the okay.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, because you can stream stuff now, you can preserve mm-hmm. it now. I mean, I store stuff for up to 300 years, people want it. I mean, because if you think about it, if it wasn't important, you wouldn't see companies like Ancestry.com, 23andMe,
sure. mm-hmm.
that are so interested.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, yes, people are interested in their lineage and their genealogy. But I think they're also interested in where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
Who they get their traits from. Mm-hmm. And all that's part of somebody's story. And maybe by some miracle, it helps you reconnect with why you're here on some level.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Before we got started, we were talking about connection and just the importance of preserving those memories. And you said something that I thought was pretty important in terms of what you feel is the thing that keeps us all connected. So you mind sharing a little bit more about that?
No, not at all. In my opinion, life is kind of like the four seasons. Mm-hmm. You got summer, fall, winter, spring. So everything kind of evolves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people evolve too. That being the case, I think people are more like a neural network and we're all connected.
Mm-hmm.
And we're connected with, even though our loved ones aren't here, we're still connected with them. That being the case, so what's the common thing that makes that connection? Well, the common thing that makes that connection, in my opinion, is love. Mm-hmm. I think that is the binding agent for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Before the podcast began, I was sharing a story about how a couple of weeks ago, my dog passed away in January, and my dog visited me a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And where I was, it was much more vivid than any dream. Was magnificent. I was having surgery. I spoke to my dad. My aunt passed away in November, and I happened to wake up the exact same time that she passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Could all this be a coincidence? Potentially. Was I imagining it? Potentially. But from my perspective, it doesn't matter what people think.
Mm-hmm.
it's how it impacted me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because, I mean, I was worried about my dad and my dog and all these people who have passed away from a grieving process, because you wonder. And what I discovered is I got the same story from my dad and my pet.
Mm-hmm.
They're all happy.
Mm-hmm.
They all feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
Which gave me great comfort.
Yeah. I love that. I was sharing with you as well, like my personal belief that when someone dies or whatever it is, whatever the grief element is, that there's a way, you call it love. I believe that too, that we just continue to have relationships with the things or people that are no longer here physically. And that is certainly something that I talk to my clients about, and that I talk to other audiences about, is ways in which you maintain the relationship, because it's different. It's somewhat of a different relationship. Like, it's not tangible, right? You can't necessarily Yeah. see the person and touch them and all that stuff, but there's still that heart level, you know, mm-hmm. that's what you're talking about, that heart level. So I'm curious about how this works, or the work that you do. How would you use this or something like this kind of leading up to with someone that has dementia or some type of cognitive impairment? Like, how do you use this work with those types of individuals?
Well, there's been research done since the, I think, 70s or 90s, or it goes back a while. I don't remember exactly. Mm-hmm. It's called reminisce therapy. And what that is taking photos, videos, slides, and combining it with music from their generation. And by doing that, it improves their cognitive skills and their emotional well-being. The example I gave before the podcast was Tony Bennett. For those of you who are old enough to remember him, or you can mm-hmm. move on. Very famous singer. He's still alive, but he suffers from dementia. And he really doesn't remember anything. But if you play one of his songs, you'll know every word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's so much about dementia, life, that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Scientists think they know.
Mm-hmm.
But then we're getting into conspiracy theory. So I won't go.
Different podcast.
Yeah. that gets into a whole other realm.
Yeah, I think that's interesting though. You know, on the surface is, you know, we talk about in my work, like meeting people where they are. But in working with someone with dementia or cognitive impairment, you have to go back to where they were. You know, not where they are right now, because that's not really representative of the totality of who they are. Like, it's not vibrant. You know what I mean? It's, it's not their true self in many ways. And that can be, I've seen that in hospice work too, how that can be very difficult for caregivers, family, friends, or whatever, taking care of a family member and seeing that progression cognitively. And it's like the person is here in the flesh, like they're here physically, but but they're not here. And so this just sounds like just such a great resource to like bring in earlier on. You know, we talk about like things like advanced directives and life review and stuff like that, this reminiscent therapy, like doing this earlier on, not waiting until like we do most things, you know, when it comes to death and dying.
Oh, sure.
So it there's an element to this that promotes like just being proactive, like do it now. Like you're talking about you're taking the pictures, you're spending the money, like it was a great vacation, but then it's off in the attic somewhere. You know, the pictures are off in the attic somewhere. Mm-hmm. How do you communicate like the essence of that for people not to wait until their loved ones, until the loss has happened? Like how do you communicate that to people, like the importance of like do it now?
It's hard. I find people do things out of one or two reasons, out of inspiration or desperation.
Mm.
That being said, people usually come to me afterwards,
mm-hmm.
because they're desperate, because they've lost something. But what they don't take into account is what happens if there's a fire and you lose everything? What happens if there's some type of natural disaster and you've lost everything? Or there's a flood, or you put stuff in the garage or a storage unit and stuff should be climate controlled and stuff gets ruined. And that's the stuff I try to help people with, because you really want to capture it now. The media generally lasts 20 years.
Mm.
Even if it's in a climate controlled environment.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not in a climate controlled environment, you could open up a media something and it'd be dust.
Right, right.
A client brought me a VHS tape. I transferred it so it's in the cloud. I rewound the tape just to make sure I captured everything, only to find out there was nothing on the tape. It was kind of like a Mission Impossible moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It just disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in the cloud. And wow. There's nothing left on the tape.
There's nothing left on the tape.
Yeah.
That says a lot about life.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it says a lot about life. Very interesting. This sounds like something preserving the past. It sounds like something that is easy to do, but from an emotional standpoint, it's complicated. Would you agree with that?
It's funny. I spoke to a client last week, and the reason people avoid it, one is from an emotional standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it can be extremely daunting. that's really where I come in, because I can step away. I'm not attached to the photos.
Right.
Or the videos.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's easy. It's easier for me.
Mm-hmm.
People, yes, I can educate people on how to do this, but I find the problem with this is it's almost you're dealing with project management, and because there's various stages involved. But I find people, when they start looking at these photos, they start reminiscing about them.
Mm-hmm.
It brings back the memories. And so what should take you X amount of time takes you way beyond that. So if you bring in, say, a third party or someone like myself, the process can be much easier. The only thing that I cannot do is tell you which ones you want to save and which ones you want to keep. which ones are important to you. I can tell you if you got pictures of landscaping or trees or things like that that you really can't relate to, I wouldn't bother with. The other thing that's important that I'll mention is organizing them. Putting names and who identifies in the picture, for example, because, I mean, if it's your legacy, say you got three people in the picture. You got myself, my wife, and my dog. Say my dog's name is Susie. My wife's name is Tracy. I'm Jeff. Okay, I put Jeff, Susie, and Tracy in the picture. Which one's my dog and which one's my wife?
Okay, that's a good point, Jeff. That's a good point.
Because
not only
legacy perspective, you're not going to be here.
Right. So who will know?
Exactly.
You know, who will know? That's a good point. So it's not just the collecting the pictures, it's the picking which ones you want to preserve.
Yeah.
And then the organization, the labeling of sorts. Right. So it's a process to
absolutely
just, okay.
I mean, just as life is. I mean, life is a process. I mean, and as I tell my clients, everybody's got a story to tell. That story is captured. We're fortunate enough to have the stuff, have the technology where it can be captured and
do it right, right.
And do it right. So there, you should do it now. I mean, I know someone who had whose mother passed away at 99, and she was with her every day. She could have taken video and talked with her and doing all this stuff. She didn't do it. And I'm thinking to myself, it's a shame.
Yeah. So unless it's really ingrained in your memory, which may fade at some point, then there's no, you know, there's no documentation of those moments for you or for your family.
Well, I'll even take it a step beyond that. How are your grandchildren or beyond going to know these people? By having the pictures and your pictures and videos tell a story.
Right, right.
It gives somebody, it lets somebody look at their life and see what it must have been like. The way they dress, the way they act, the way they talk, the way they interact, the way. That's why when I go to estate sales and I see all these pictures people are selling, I'm like, it breaks my heart. I mean, you're selling somebody's life, and the people that are buying it, they're buying it, but they don't know what they're buying. They don't know the emotions attached to it.
Right, right. Yeah. So there's levels to it, Jeff. Oh, there's a lot of levels. Once you get into doing, get into digitizing, that it really, I can see that being a process, certainly a process of like helping someone maneuver through that process of grief and toward healing as well, because you're peeling back those onion layers, right?
So
you're looking at pictures, you're, you know, putting in categories, you're assigning and doing all those different things. So it's a lot of work that takes place emotionally as well. It's not just another task on the list to do.
Absolutely. Well, and I'll tell you a funny story. My son, who's 29, and since he's been born, you've had the digital phones, you can take a million pictures in a second. And he's got, as do most people, you press the button, you get 20 pictures of the same thing. So I He's an engineer, by the way. So I said, okay, well, find me on your phone. I want this picture with this person on this day in this location. I'll give you 15 seconds. Go. His response, I can't do that. Why can't you do that? Your phone's got all the tools to do it.
Right. These expensive computers that we carry.
Yeah. I mean, you got all the technology there. Mm-hmm. So then I asked him, well, if you can't find the picture, why'd you take it to begin with? Obviously, you took the picture because it meant something to you at that particular point in time.
Right. Good point. Very interesting stuff. I certainly, I love what you're doing and you bringing up the reminiscence therapy as well. Just that whole process of it, this is something that can be used to help and work with anyone, no matter like where you are, age, cognitive ability, all that stuff. So this just sounds wonderful. Please share with the Healing Bloom audience about how they can get in contact with you if they're interested in learning more about your services or the reminiscence therapy. How do they touch base with you?
Well, I have a website.
Okay.
MyDigital-memories.com. Or you can send me an email, Jeff@mydigital-memories.com. Or, not that anybody does it anymore, feel free to call me. 703-861-2793. I don't think I've ever received a phone call from my service.
You have?
Ever.
No, people don't call anymore. They like to text. No. We got these expensive computers that we walk around with. They don't, no talking. We're too busy for that. But I tell you, your work really speaks to that as well. The need to slow down, to slow down and just really take in the moment. That's so important. And it's certainly just highlighting that there are so many things that happen over a lifetime that we can just easily skip over and miss, and then we forget.
Well, everybody has their own genius that they're given,
mm-hmm.
or their own gift. Capturing people's memories now gives people a glimpse into what gifts that they have or had,
mm-hmm.
what their talents were, what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, along with my podcast, I find it all inspirational. It's all interconnected.
Absolutely. I'm going to be listing Jeff's podcast as well, because he is right. It is a connection there. Jeff, I want to thank you for joining me today and carving out time in your schedule to speak to the work that you do, preserving the past, inspiring the future. So many nuggets here. So it's a lot. Healing Bloom, I hope that you really enjoyed this podcast with Jeff K. All of his information will be added to the post. So if you didn't get an opportunity to write it down, it'll be there. So you can click. We're going to let you tap into your computer that you're carrying around. Okay. Either way, Healing Bloom, thank you again for your time. And until next month, thank you.